The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try.
Well, this is Ralph Kermit Winterhoff II. I'm sitting in for John Stadtmiller. Boy, I'll tell you, is that truth? We got to take America back, and we need leaders. We do. But you got to have knowledge. You got to have wisdom to use it. I was talking about this National Voter Registration Act. You can look it up on the internet. It's codified in 52. United States Code 20502. 52 U.S.C. 20502. Number 4, definition of state, means state of the United States. That means it's a municipal entity under it. State of the United States. It's part of, it's underneath. It's like a county of the state of Texas or something. And the District of Columbia. They're the same. Oh, isn't that nice? Oh, but then we go to number 2, the term, quote, federal office, end quote, has the meaning in section 30101. They always link stuff, and that's what they do. That's why Westlaw is really handy, because you just touch it and it's there. But you go to the elections then, so we go to see what it says. It says what? It's talking about in this 52301, what federal office is. The term federal office means office of the president or vice president or senator or representative in or delegate or resident commissioner to the Congress. You see anything in there about anything about states? No. All the elections are for something called a state of the United States. Now, I go into Pacer and I find out these states, or they're calling themselves state of the United States, or they have said, I am a sovereign state of the United States of America. Duh. Whoa. I thought you're supposed to be one of the several states in the Union of States. No. That's not the status that we're playing in today. Now, people won't believe it. I mean, you can look it up on the internet if you know where to look. I have a complaint done by the for the Moonies with, I forget how many attachments, 35 or 40 or 50, something like that. And I have a standing brief of the United States versus United States of America. They were both in the Federal Court of Claims. They line out the overthrow of our republic with documents. Their documents. And if you email me at IRS@AlaskaMinuteman.com, but you have to say you were listening to the show, because otherwise you're not going to get them unless you're a member of the list. I'll send them, but it takes quite a few emails, because these are PDFs. And you can only send about usually 5 or 6 meg per thing. Real evidence. What a novel idea. This needs to get out there, though. There are no elections for any public officers in the several states. So therefore, there are no courts of the several states. There are no governors. There's no legislature. It's all a con, folks. You're in the matrix. And it's easily proven, because if you don't have elections for him, you sure as the heck can't fill the, quote, office. Can you? The public office. That's why I thought I had him in Alaska. Oh, you don't have an oath of office. It's a public office of the $43 word. Oh, you don't have a civil commission. I got to admit that. Then I find out they're not even in the right venue. They're working under the Alaska bar. I says, you can't make this stuff up. This can't be happening. Not in America. But to see the bar members can't talk. That's why Rex Butler out of the black attorney and several other ones said, well, Ralph, until you, the people, wake up, we're not going to do anything. We can't. Because they make them sign a Rule 5 and Rule 64 oath of the Alaska Bar. They cannot do constitutional law. Duh. That's how they hook them. Are they going to give up their law degree and all this stuff? No, they won't do it. Most of them won't. They won't do it. They just won't. It's up to you and me. But how are we supposed to find out? Because this law stuff is, when I first started reading this statutes of Greek, takes a little practice. Because it's in code. But once you get the hang of it and start learning definitions, because what you think you know a word means is not what it means. They're as crazy as dog means cat or dog means the moon. I'm not kidding you. That's why they use this term in quotation marks, and then they use the word means. It's an exclusive new meaning. Forget the dictionary on this stuff. So now we get back to the child slavers in Alaska. Because we're taught there's three separate branches of government, and they're all separate. They're not doing anything nasty. Well, guess what? Easily looked up on the internet. You can look it up yourself. 45 CFR, that's the Code of Federal Regulations, and what that is where they put the all of the regulations, and they codify them by titles and sections, and then they have authorities underneath them. Each, they always have to have published in the Federal Register what they're doing. The Federal Register is where they put it in for the public to get access to it. I'm sure you get up every morning and check what the hundredth, all these pages of garbage that these agencies are doing. So what do they do? All of the state plans that your state only uses federal CFRs. There's nothing local in it. Because the states gave up their sovereignty over the state plan. And in this, they say, oh, by the way, they tell the agency at the top of the state plan. Down there, they have a list called 3.1 list of what they call cooperative agreements. What are those things? Well, you see, this is one that's, like I say, this is just one you can look up. I'll give you, it's 45 CFR. Section 302.34, 45 CFR, Section 302.34. And it says, cooperative agreements. The state plan shall provide that the state will enter into written agreements for cooperative agreements, see Section 303.107, with appropriate courts, law enforcement officials, Indian tribes, and tribal organizations. So what are they saying here? Guess what, folks? The executive, which is the CSSD, Child Slavers in Alaska, they have a cooperative agreement with the court system for money. I have a copy of it. I got to get new ones. And it says, in Section 6B, that the judge is audited for the amount of money he makes, and everybody gets punished. If he doesn't make how much ever money he makes, they all split it up. but the judge is audited for the amount of money he makes. I'm not kidding you. It's a con. It's a ruse. There are cooperative agreements between the CSSD person that's sitting in there, between the court system, between the law, Department of Law, your cop shop. They all got agreements because they're taking money, federal grants, from the federales. It's about money. Are you shocked? I'd like to think so. Oh, it's worse than that. They get around. If I'll find it here, I'll give the statute. They get around, and guess what they do for adoptions? They put a bounty on them. We got to adopt them chilling out. Oh, yeah. Let me find it here. The source document on that. This is a statute of Congress. When you find this stuff, you cannot believe that this exists. It's like I've stuck my head in hell. It's public law 105-89. It was 1997. And it is, guess what they say in here? I'll send it to you if you've seen it. We want to get the healthy children for $4,000 a head. Let's see, what year was this? I think it was actually 1997. Let me pull it up here and open it up and see what the year is on it. I think it's 1997. See here. It's a 111 stat 2115. The year is 1997. It says in here, we're going to give $4,000. We're going to go for adoptions. We're going to set a baseline. And everyone you get, just like hunting coyotes in Kansas, you get a bounty of $4,000 per head for the healthy ones, and for the ones that aren't so good, you know, they got a little bit of some problem, you only get $2,000 a head. And it says, get them while they're young. I kid you not. Would you believe that our Congress is doing this type of stuff? I got the dang act. I think it's up around $15,000 or $20,000. I got to do it for you because the guy I used to know, he's gone. So I'm going to have to fight through the myriad of BS to get to the stuff again. They're selling our children, folks, for money. And the judge is audited for the amount of money he makes. In the cooperative agreement, Article 6, capital B. And I got a copy of it. Tell me it do not exist. Go into a CSSD. Alice Brown had a second child, a little boy, in Montana. We brought up that issue. The cooperative agreement. Now, hold on a minute here. Let me go back and see who the caller is here. We have a caller? Oh, I don't see it. Okay, Wayne in Texas, I don't see it here on the chat. Wayne, go ahead. Question or comment?
Yeah, hi, Ralph. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Go ahead. Shoot.
Okay. Yeah, hey, I'm sorry to change the subject, but I've been wanting to ask you a question here about these executive orders, all these governors and mayors and all them are doing. And the reason I really brought this to my attention was the other night I was watching Tucker, and he had Judge Napolitano on. You know, and this guy was a state superior court judge in New Jersey, and he started talking about executive orders, and 3 points he made really made sense to me is, number one, they do not have the force of law at all. Number two is they're not valid expressions of constitutional doctrine, and there cannot be criminal sanctions for failure to comply. Yet, in states like Colorado, Michigan, you see people getting arrested, you know, for this very reason. So I wanted to kind of get your opinion on that because I think a lot of people have got to learn how to fight back on some of these, what I would call color of law, unconstitutional orders.
Well, first of all, Pagliano is not to be trusted, but he's right on this. He's been all over the place because he didn't get appointed to the Supreme Court, and he got pissed at Trump, and he was off the rails. But he's right. An executive order is published in the Federal Register. for the federal. The states, their registers, they have no authority to do anything. They can only do that type of stuff technically that has anything to do with the employees. They can't touch you or me. Okay? And that's a fact. They can't put anybody in jail. They can't, there's no criminal, no civil, none of that stuff. And when you look at the federal executive orders, you can see that quite clearly. Because in the federal side, the executive orders, actually, they go in and actually Congress could do something about them if they wanted to. But they don't. When they make agencies, because see, they can't legislate over you and me. So what they did is they created a fictional citizen of the United States that technically doesn't exist in the several states. We can assume that this is where people get mixed up with the 14th Amendment. And it's easy to do, I understand, because I used to be. You can assume they put you under the definition of person. You can assume the status or the character, like you're playing a part. You can assume the status of a landlord or a tenant. That's a status. And then under that status, there are certain rules, certain laws that you are made to obey. When you take a status of a citizen of the United States, you have to sign up for it. But you don't understand what it is because they don't tell us. And it takes a little bit of work to find out what it's all about. And then you find out, like in reading the 14th Amendment, it says subject to the jurisdiction. But wait a minute here. If I am a domiciled in Texas, I'm under the laws of Texas. I'm not subject to. I am under them. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So why do they put subject to in? Because there's all kinds of qualifications, and one of them, the most common one, is called the implied in law. Implied in law. So what does that mean? Type of contract. I sign up, a Form 1040 is an implied in law contract. I am admitting I have an obligation to the IRS. I am also admitting that the IRS has no obligation to me. So it's a one-way street. That's an implied in law. Now, when you buy a new car, if you look in the documents, and I've got those too, by the way, because we don't own our automobiles. God, I just can't believe I fought that for so many. I wouldn't even want to guess how many tens of thousands of dollars. All I had to do was go get the paperwork. I went to Wasilla Chevrolet, had to coerce them. I got the document, and they have an attorney in fact. It's called implied in fact, and it's the same as a express contract where both sides sign it. It means both sides can have a benefit. Every automobile that's new is given away before it ever leaves the dealer's place. It's a one-pager, implied in law, or attorney in fact. You give all right, title, and interest away to this guy. He has full power of attorney, and he takes a document that most people have never even seen or heard of, a manufacturer's statement of origin, a little small document, two-sided. It's got liens on the back, and on the front it says, whoever's got it is the property. You are the owner of that property. That piece of paper is gold. It is the value of that automobile in Alaska. It's hand-carried 10 miles to DMV, and they issue a certificate of title. If you read those, and it says, oh, guess what? There may be other security interest not shown, and I'm a legal owner. Legal owner. What's a legal owner? Well, they don't tell us about property because, see, we're not going to teach us in school. There's possession, right of possession, which is the legal owner, and there's the right of property, the beneficial owner, the thing. So I'm taking care of somebody else's stuff. Back in a minute. Hang on.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%, no joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out at school?
Well, we're back here. You still there, Wayne?
Yeah, sure, I'm Ralph. And now, I just had a couple real quick questions for you before I get off.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, as far as our possible remedy, you know, say you walk in a park, the police arrest you for breaking this code or whatever. Does an individual have a remedy along the lines of a Title 42 lawsuit, deprivation of rights under color of law, because they're arresting you under?
And I've written up one of those, and it's Dave Gladden, where we went after a judge. And it can be done. Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, there are a lot of fundamental things that what you think you know that you don't understand, because why is it color of law, a Title 42 1983 lawsuit? Why is it called color of law? Because it looks like, and it's not. And you can assume the character of a citizen of the United States to sue them, because you see the 14th under that, if a state actor or state law violates discrimination type stuff, then you can sue them. That's the only purpose for having the Congress legislating as a citizen of the United States. That's under the character of. But the problem that they ran into is when they created this fictional, and you can look this up too on the internet, it's 42 United States Code, 1981 and 1982. 42 USC, 1981 and 82 have the same rights as white citizens. That was the first Civil Rights Act in our country. And what it did is give civil rights to the Negroes. But you know what it didn't do? It didn't give them political rights. So the obvious question is, if a citizen of the United States, which it, the Supreme Court says, has no political rights, right of suffrage, or the right elected friend, who's voting for, who's putting these people in, and who are they? These governors are no more than like the mayor of D.C. They're under a municipal entity, and I can prove it. Because, you see, there are no elections for the citizens of the several states. I got a Supreme Court case that's in Re, Virginia, 1879. It explains it, the Supreme Court, in great, great detail. It is one heck of a read. And when you get through with it, you're going to start to understand what I thought I knew is not so. And that's a scary thing when you really start to see what these guys have been up to. But the bottom line is these governors got no authority. Zero. The only authority they have is because they have the police and everybody believing what they're doing. And it's only for citizens of the United States. They can't touch your birthright. I don't know if you're very familiar with the Bible, but Esau in the Bible, that gave up his birthright for some porridge and lentil beans.
Right.
He lost his property and his lineage rights. And the Creator was pissed at him. Well, guess what? When you sign up to be a citizen of the United States, you got to keep doing it. Everything you sign, though. Social Security, driver's licenses, bank accounts, all this stuff. To receive a benefit of being under the plenary power of Congress. And I can prove it all. Like I say, I got this one brief that I'm working on. It's got almost 800 pages of appendix. Documents, 800 pages. That isn't even all the stuff I got. And we're in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals right now.
Wow. Good deal. Okay, Ralph, hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate the information. Very good stuff.
Yep. Okay, John in Michigan, question, comment?
Yes,
John?
Ralph, I'm here. Ralph, you just mentioned about benefits, and didn't you say that I know that you're registered as a citizen of Texas or of Alaska, but you still can get your Social Security. Is that correct?
I do, because that's a one part of a benefit that you can do. Because see, that is not just having that character for that one benefit is in and of itself does not send you down the road to hell. Because
okay.
You've got to keep signing. I have signed up as a citizen of Alaska to vote. I also have got my driver's license. I went over there and scratched out citizen of the United States. I wanted them to deny it. They wouldn't do it. Oh, that's fine, Ralph. Go ahead. I wrote citizen of Alaska on it.
Well, perfect. Now, a couple of other things. These states that we have now, aren't they from the 1871 Act of 1871, aren't they forms of corporations or aren't they corporations?
Nope. What they are is they are a state of the United States. That's in the National Voter Registration Act. They are on the same thing as a municipal entity, as a municipal government of a city, just like D.C., and that's in the definitions. And see, the thing is, where we run into trouble, because you hit on a very important thing, really important. The definition, like in the Internal Revenue Code, by the way, it's not even a part of the United States Code. People don't know that, but it's never been accepted. But anyway, under the definition in 26 U.S.C. 7701A1, person. You always see this definition of person. Okay, they put an individual in there. Then they put a corporation in there.
I'll wait for the commercial, and I'll wait on the other side for you.
Yep, okay. Now, this is really important.
Because the heat is on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Well, it's all right.
Okay, well, we're back here, and this definition of person, 7701 is Title 20. You see a lot of places, but you see a person, individual, and then you'll see like a partnership, and you'll see a corporation, and you say, "No, wait a minute, I'm not the same as the corporation." What we're not told, and what we don't understand by looking at it, the word individual is defined in 5 U.S.C. 552A A2. 5 U.S.C. 552A A2. And what does it say? The term individual, in quotation mark, means a citizen of the United States or an alien lawfully admitted to a permanent residence. So what do they have in common? How can I be in a definition of person with a corporation, an individual, a partnership? Really simple. They all have civil rights. Every one of these entities has civil rights. An individual, a citizen of the United States, because it is a statutory creation. Yes, citizen of the United States is a statutory creation. A corporation is a statutory creation. A partnership is a statutory. They all have civil rights. You know what none of them have? Political rights. We don't want to talk about that, though. And one of the most amazing things that I found, well, first of all, on your passport, See, they always have to have both sides there. That's the thing you understand when you start reading statutes, you start reading especially court cases. They mix up the good side and the bad side in the same case. They will say Constitution of the United States, that's the Constitution with the good side. They will say United States Constitution, that's the bad side. That's the 13th Amendment on up. They change the words around. It's called the compounding of nouns. They use two nouns as an adjective describing a constitution. There's only one Constitution of the United States, and these lawyers know this. We just don't. We're not taught this. So anyway, if you have a passport, go look on the right-hand side. It's there. Very innocuous. It's also on the form down at the bottom when you fill out for a passport. Citizen/national of the United States. Citizen/national of the United States. It's on your passport. And they say, if you got taxes, we're going to keep you from using your passport. There's two parts to that passport. Did they tell you that? Where would I find that? It's the definition under 8 U.S.C. 1101 A22. And what does it say? The term, quote, national of the United States, end quote, means a citizen of the United States or. So I got to be or. I got to be a cat or a dog. I can't be both, right? So I got to be a citizen of the United States or a person who, though not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. That's us. That's on your passport. Now, the citizen of the United States is the biggest con because it sounds so deliciously correct. And this is first of all, it's our status. And in the I found this. People send me stuff all the time, and a lot of it's really good stuff. And this is out of the Weiss Concise Trustee Handbook. This was really opened my eyes. I mean, it's been sitting there, but it's like anything. When you see it, you say, "What? How come it took me so long to see this?" A statutory entity. Now, any statutory entity is under the absolute control of the legislature or Congress that establishes it. Okay? Corporations. There's all kinds of corporations and stuff. A statutory entity is inherently accountable to the courts of civil, parenthesis, legislative jurisdiction, deriving subject matter jurisdiction from the corporate charter over which the legislature holds in rem jurisdiction. They hold control of the property, the thing. That's why we don't own anything as a citizen of the United States, as well as by way of possession of the charter document. So they created a citizen of the United States. The same rights as a white citizen. You can hold property, but you can't own it. 14 Stat 27, 1866. Is this starting to make a little sense?
All of it, yep. And it goes, does any of this tie into the Act of 1871 or the Rothschilds?
That was an important thing, but no, it does not.
Okay.
They created a fictional citizen of the United States. They memorialized it in the 14th Amendment, subject to the jurisdiction. And then you see, in 1870, they said, you know what? We had an epiphany. You know all them black folk out there, them Negroes? We're going to make it so they can be naturalized. They'll be equal in all respects now to the white folk. So the black folk and the white folk are all the same. Well, why didn't we do that in 1866? Because they were getting set up the only way to overthrow the Constitution of the United States is to get both parties to leave it. There are two parties to the Constitution in the 10th Amendment. The people, we the people, and the several states, right? And it says what's not in that Constitution is reserved to who? To people and the several states. So now, how did they get us out of there? Well, we signed up for it. We were believing by 1913 that everybody's a citizen of the United States. So we're out of our, we're taking on a character, a fictional character that's under the control of Congress, established by the legislature in 1866. Then in 1913, they did the 17th Amendment. And boy, this was really slick. And I just stumbled. It's amazing how this stuff just comes to you. I don't know. It just, it does. But anyway, I was reading this court case. And I said, jiminy Christmas. Article 1, Section 2. The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every year by the people of the several states. People of the several states. Several states. And this court case says, guess what they left out of the 17th Amendment? The word several. It's people of the state, so they could define it. So now the legislatures no longer do the senators of the United States in 1913. So they're out of the Constitution of the United States. We, the people, people of the several states, we're no longer doing the representatives. So guess what they did? They created the 13th, 14th, and all these others for a citizen of the United States. And this was taken to court because somebody in South Carolina said, hey, wait a minute here. Where's the elections for the public officers for South Carolina? And you know what they said in this? I'll have to dig up the site here. They said, guess what? The 10th Amendment doesn't have any bearing on a citizen of the United States. Can you believe this? And that's true. Because it's the same thing as... Pardon?
It's what the word is means.
Well, yeah, no. No, but what it is, the 10th Amendment doesn't talk about corporations. It doesn't talk about any statutory creation. It's talking about who? The people of the several states, right? And the legislatures of the several states. That's it. The several states, that's what the 10th Amendment, it doesn't have any bearing on corporations or partnerships or all that. And this, it's a really an interesting, oh God, I read this, it just lays it out. It's 185 ALR, that's American Law Review, Fed 155. And it says, guess what? The 10th Amendment doesn't have any. The 14th Amendment trumps the 10th Amendment on the citizen of the United States. Did you know that the 10th Amendment has been, repealed or is it not used? You can't make this up. But if you just step back and look at it, for a fictional, legislatively or congressionally created entity, the 10th Amendment doesn't reach it. Because it's only about who? The people and the several states. This fictional character, if I presume that if I want to have the only civil rights of a citizen of the United States, great, we're into the 13th and amendments on up. Whoever heard about an amendment?
At the end, make this quick. Well, you're fabulous. I know John has the copy of the 13th Amendment, the original one, which we're not supposed to have nobility hold office. That's all we have in office today, our lawyers. We do have some sheriffs here in Michigan that told the governor to go shove it, that she doesn't have jurisdiction over them. So that's a fabulous thing. Also, Bill Clinton is the one that set up that thing for the children to be taken. He had a quota they had to do every year. So that's something you can look back on. And then if you could comment on how to get away from this new ID that we're supposed to have in October by becoming state citizenships, if you could possibly...
It's all smoke and mirrors. I've debunked it all. And what I've got to do, the way this all works, is you have to... The way we work, because they don't make laws of the United States anymore, they make something called public law. They went from laws of the United States, or statutes of the United States, and between 1900 and 1930, they went from statutes of the United States to statutes of the United States and laws of the United States of America. Then they went strictly laws of the United States of America. This is all the beginning of the statute books. Then they went laws of the United States of America and public law. Now we only have public law. Okay? So, you have to put, I have a status, I've got to update it. You put your status into the public record. I'm a citizen of Alaska, and I'm domiciled in Alaska, one of the several states. You have to have two prongs to establish you in your proper persona. okay, in the public record. And I've got a whole bunch more that's going to go in it. Now then, that becomes self-authenticating under Evidence Rule 901, number 7. Okay? Now, can they say you're a citizen of the United States? You know why they can't? 18 U.S.C. 911. It's a felony to claim to be a citizen of the United States with no evidence. They can't prove it because it's voluntary. Okay? And the other one is 28 U.S.C. 2201. I want a declaratory judgment. Who the heck am I? Now, they can declare if you're a 501c3, if you're a corporation, what type of corporation. They cannot declare that you're a citizen of the United States for taxation. And you know why? Because it's voluntary. They can't touch it. But
well,
you have
God
to
bless you.
Pardon?
And I'm going to re-listen to this show, and I need to contact you. I do have your phone number. I need to find out how to get this all taken care
well,
of.
Well, one of the best way to do is to get this stuff is to get on my mailing list. Like I say, it's 250 postal money order, preferably Walmart, because I have to go to the post office quite a few times. They don't have enough money. Or if you can't afford it, just email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com. And, if you once you get on the list, if you send $150, I will send you all of my research. I'll give you the hard drive. You can read it on an IBM, Mac, or whatever.
Now, you deserve it. And check that Bill Clinton thing for he had to make sure there was a quota made of all these children being taken. So God bless you.
Was he in office in 1997?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, well,
also tried to get quinine. He also tried to get quinine banned, and he also was the one that put the vaccine for babies after 12 hours, the hepatitis and all that other crap. So this man's an evil person and very sinister.
Oh, he's an antichrist or possessed by demons or something. I don't know.
Well, supposedly a Rockefeller, too, so that's why they have the Teflon.
Yeah.
I guess his mother had an affair with a Rockefeller, and maybe he was the product. But God bless you, and carry on.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm trying to get people to wake up with real stuff. Okay, thank you. Thanks for calling. I want to get people on this to get these documents. Read them. It's their stuff. There's a headless fourth branch of government, FDR. I've got a 400-page document I got out of Gonzaga Law Library from done there by FDR. It's called the Headless Fourth Branch of Government. This is FDR. This is him doing it because they were getting away from him. How many people know how they make regulations? Nobody knows how that works because it's not taught. We're like... I watched a lot of movies to get my mind off of this stuff, but we're like in Braveheart, Prima Nocta. This lord rides up during the wedding and says, I am going to take the bride. And have relations with her on the first night. And everybody standing around her like, what are we going to say? We don't have any arms. We don't got nothing. What are we going to do? That's the problem we run into. People know they're getting screwed, but how do you come out of Babylon? Not going to win all the time initially, but you got to come out of Babylon and understand the con. The courts of the United States are Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9 tribunals, and I can prove it, and they print it. Why did they make them legislative courts? Because a citizen of the United States has no standing in a constitutional court, Article 3, Section 1 and 2. Fred, question, comment? Yes, go ahead.
In the unanimous declaration, it says United, lowercase, States of America, but in the Federal Charter, U.S. Constitution, it doesn't say States of America, and United is capitalized as is states.
Yes, it talks about the United States because it set up the government of the United States. That's what the Constitution... It was a Constitution for the United States of America, and it established the Constitution of the United States, and then it put these states together called the several states in the Union of States. Go ahead.
Okay, so the Union, the several states were sovereign, independent state republics at that time.
Now, always. And they're still supposed to be, but they're not.
And that's what the Second Amendment, the militias, I believe, was ordained to etch in stone, is that all the sovereign state republics would maintain their own essentially on the ground, boots on the ground.
Hold on a minute, because you're right on point. Hold on a minute, we got to go to break. Got to pay some bills here.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
And, boy, there's so much to cover. Like I say, IRS at Alaska, Minuteman.com, if you want to get some real stuff. I have a show every Sunday, 5 to 7 on RBN. And John's just like me, always looking for money because we operate on the slimmest of threads. I'm retired, if you can call it that. This citizen of the United States is so important. You just can't make this stuff up. Because you see, in 1913, as soon as they passed the 17th Amendment, the government of the United States The real party of interest in all the district courts of the United States were just plain United States. In 1913, it changed. It's United States of America. So you say, well, where the heck did that guy come from? I have 110 cases documented. Quote, United States of America is a sovereign body politic. Whoa! That should scare... United States of America is a sovereign body politic? That's Congress, by the way. United States of America. If you look at all of your federal cases today, you will not see plain United States in the United States District Courts, because they're not even constitutional courts. The only place you will see the word United States is in the Federal Court of Claims, what it's supposed to be, and in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. But we only have technically one Article III court left. That's the Supreme Court of the United States. That's it. That's all we got left. There's none in any of the several states. There's no constitutional courts. All of these United States district courts are tribunals. And guess what? The judge works for the court, and the court is under the control of Congress, and I got the cases that stay it. Is that where you want to go for justice? See, that's the problem we run into when you find all these things that are wrong, like in your state. Where do you go for a remedy? It's like in Braveheart. Prima notte. Where do you go? You got nothing to fight with, almost. That's what I'm trying to do. There is a way to do it. It's not going to be easy. And they're going to pound on you. But anyway, you got any other questions before we close out?
Well, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 2, borrow money on the credit of the United States. There's the phrase United States, and it's capitalized. U and S is capitalized for United States. Money is capitalized, but credit is not. Now, if I'm not mistaken, corporations
let me cut to the chase. The Coinage Act of 1792 is still there, and Bill Still is a very knowledgeable fellow. Trump knows about U.S. notes. He knows about U.S. notes. Trump can get around. Kennedy started this with the Red Seal, and he got killed. Trump, you watch, it's going to happen. He has no problem of running up this, quote, fictional debt, because he can get around and go from Federal Reserve notes to U.S. notes and hand them all to the Federal Reserve and get rid of half of the debt, just bingo, just by printing it.
Yeah, that would be sweet, wouldn't it, Ralph? And
well,
I actually
had a couple of those Red Seal ones from Kennedy, but they killed him for it. And, of course, Johnson stopped it. But I know that Trump knows about it. Bill Still gave him the information. He was requested to give it to him. Bill Still is a very knowledgeable. If you haven't been to his, where he puts out videos, his Bill Still, STILL. He puts out some really...
John's National Intel Report, the second hour of Wednesday, the first 15 minutes. Second hour of Wednesday, National Intel.
Okay, well, we got to go, as always. Okay. We got to go, as always, say, watch out for the federales are everywhere. And God willing, we will see you Sunday on my show at 5 to 7.
It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC. Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.